In his customary location this time of day, Sheriff Marvin Leach leaned back in his desk chair, his feet propped on his desk, his coffee cup in his hand. Propped against the wall in the straight-back chair, Deputy Sheriff Jim Turner caught a glimpse of something he was curious enough to lower the front legs of his chair back to the floor to get up to see. He went to the window.
We got company. That deputy marshal, Will Tanner. And he ain't alone. He's got another one with him. A deputy or a posseman. And a jail wagon.
A jail wagon? Is there anybody in it?
No. Just an empty wagon.
He remained at the window until Will and Ed tied their horses at the hitching rail, then returned to his chair when they started up the two steps.
Deputy Tanner, what brings you back to Clarksville?
Sheriff, this is Deputy Marshal Ed Pine. Ed, say howdy to Sheriff Leach and Deputy Turner.
Ed nodded in each man's direction.
I've got a warrant for the arrest of George Robert Butler that we're in town to serve.
Long Bob? You want to arrest Long Bob? For what?
The murder of his wife, Jolene Carson Butler, and for threatening the life of her sister, Loretta Carson. It's all right here.
He placed the warrant on the sheriff's desk. Leach picked up the paper and briefly glanced at it before laying it back on his desk.
Ain't you getting things a little ass backwards there, Tanner? You took the guilty man who killed Jolene Butler into custody the last time he was here.
That's a fact. I took the accused man into custody, where he still is. I also took the key witness to the murder into custody.
I heard you took Loretta Carson on the train with you. I was wondering why you arrested her.
I didn't arrest her. I took her into protective custody.
What for? Protect her from what? She's a witness, and you got the man who did the killing in jail. So she ain't in no danger.
I understand why you think that, but after further investigation, we found that Rayford Pickens is not guilty of any crime. So we're here today to take the guilty man into custody. The man on that warrant, George Robert Butler.
You think Long Bob killed that little gal he was married to? I swear, if he did, he ought to be hanged for sure. He's loud and he's rough, and he's been in more than one fight, but I never heard of him taking it out on a woman.
He paused to think about it for a moment.
Well, what do you want from me?
Nothing, except you can tell us where we can find him. We'll do the rest. But I had to notify you about what we're doing, since you're the sheriff.
Him and Jolene lived in a room at the back of Sally Belcher's rooming house. I reckon he still lives there.
We might as well look there first, Ed. Then we'll search the whole town, starting with the saloons. Barney can pull his wagon around behind the jail while we search. That all right with you, Sheriff?
Sure. Yeah, that's all right with me.
When Will and Ed went back outside to help Barney pick a spot for his wagon, in case it ended up as their temporary base for a while, Jim watched until they pulled around back. He turned to Leach.
You know, Long Bob might be over at the Friendly Saloon. I'm gonna step over there real quick. I might be able to save those deputies a lot of time.
He didn't wait for Leach to respond and was out the door. Jim wasted no time crossing the street, but instead of going in the front door of the saloon, he walked as quietly as he could to the back door of the saloon. He could hear Long Bob's booming voice even before he opened the door. When he pushed the door halfway open, he checked to see where Tom Futch was and didn't see him anywhere. Long Bob wasn't hard to find. He was laughing loudly, sitting at a table playing cards. Using the half-open door for concealment, Jim waved his arm up and down until he caught Long Bob's eye. When he did, he motioned for Long Bob to come to him.
I'll be right back.
When he finally realized what Jim was trying to do, Long Bob got up from the table and walked to the back door.
What the hell are you doing?
Jim grabbed his arm, pulled him out behind the saloon, and closed the door.
What the hell's ailing you?
You need to get your long butt out of here. There's two deputy marshals just come into town with a jail wagon, and they're looking for you.
Looking for me? Why are they looking for me?
You know why. It's that damn Tanner. I knew when he took Loretta Carson with him on that train that he didn't believe her when she said it was Rayford.
I should have just wrung her neck that day. Where is that damn marshal? Best thing to do is to just call him out right now and we'll settle it for good.
No, that ain't the best thing.
He ain't gonna face up to you on the street. There's two of them. Three, if you count the feller driving the jail wagon. They'll just shoot you down if you don't give yourself up. You'd best get your horse and get out of Clarksville. Go down to the shack and lay low for a while. I'll tell him you left town for good.
Long Bob was beginning to see that Jim was right. He'd best make himself scarce, but he didn't want to ride down to the river and stay in that cabin.
There ain't no supplies in that cabin. There ain't nothing to eat in the cabin. I can't stay there.
I'll ride down there tonight and bring you some stuff you can cook. You just hang in there and I'll get you some stuff tonight.
Hey, bring me one of them gals from Annie Mae's.
Yeah, that's what got you into trouble in the first place. You couldn't stay out of that place. You ain't got time to fool around. Get out of here, now. Don't worry, I'll get down there tonight.
I left some money on the table. I ain't leaving that.
I'll get it. You just get going.
Jim gave him a push, and Long Bob grinned at him.
I owe you, partner.
Damn right you do. Now get out of here before I arrest you.
He watched to make sure Long Bob left, then he pushed the door to the saloon open and walked in. He went over to the table where Long Bob had been playing cards with three men.
I'm looking for Long Bob Butler. Somebody said he was playing cards with you fellers.
Yeah, he was. He was sitting right there. But he just got up and walked out the back door over there. We figured he had to go to the outhouse, but he ain't come back yet.
I just came in that way. He ain't back there.
He took off his hat and swept Long Bob's money into it.
If he comes back, tell him he can pick up his money at the sheriff's office.
Right. We'll tell him, deputy.
Jim pocketed the money, plopped his hat back on his head, and walked over in front of the bar.
I'm looking for Long Bob Butler. Anybody seen him?
No one volunteered to tell him that Long Bob was just in the saloon minutes before, although everyone knew he was.
Well, he was in here a little while ago, Jim, but I don't know where he went.
As Will was crossing the street toward the friendly saloon, he met Jim walking out the front door.
I just checked in there. I thought that might be the first place to look. He was there sure enough, but he'd already gone.
Will hesitated before deciding whether to take the young deputy sheriff's word or not. He had a feeling that Jim really wanted to keep him from checking the saloon.
Well, thanks, deputy. We appreciate the help. I'm gonna go in anyway. I want to ask the bartender some questions.
Want me to go back in with you?
No, that ain't necessary. I just want to ask about Long Bob's usual habits. When he usually comes in, things like that. Just routine questions. I'll see you back at the sheriff's office.
He turned then and continued toward the friendly saloon. Inside the saloon, the noise automatically quieted down when he walked in. Most of the regulars remembered him because they were there when he had come to Clarksville to pick up Rayford Pickens. He walked over to the bar to talk to the bartender.
I'm sorry, I don't remember if you told me your name when I was here before.
It's Alvin. Alvin Jones.
Alvin, my name's Will Tanner. I understand Long Bob Butler was in here a little while ago.
Alvin nodded.
Was he in here a long time today, or just a few minutes?
Oh, he came in like he usually does, a little before noon. Has a few drinks, played some cards.
So he was here a pretty good while today?
Alvin nodded.
But he left all of a sudden?
That's right. Them three fellas over there was playing cards with him, and they said he just got up all of a sudden and went out the door in the back. Left his money on the table, didn't say squat. They figured he had a sudden call to visit the outhouse, but never came back. They already told all that to Jim Turner.
Yeah, that's what Jim told me. So Long Bob was playing cards for a pretty good while. Then he jumped up and left. Maybe he saw Deputy Turner come in the front door, and that's when he decided he better leave out the back door.
Only thing is, Jim Turner didn't come in the front door. He came in the door in the back. Same one Long Bob went out.
Will grinned.
It's a wonder they didn't bump into each other.
Alvin scratched his head when he thought about it.
Yeah, it is, ain't it? Long Bob must have popped in the kitchen when Jim went by.
I bet that's what happened. I wish Long Bob had stayed in the hall. Would have made this job a lot easier. Much obliged, Alvin. I think I'll go out the back way.
Will went around behind the sheriff's office and jail where Ed and Barney had set up a temporary camp. In addition to his and Ed's two horses, they had Barney's team and his pack horse, plus Jack Coffey's Appaloosa and pack horse.
We're going to be too busy protecting our herd of horses to try to find Long Bob Butler, especially since we took on that Appaloosa.
Will told Ed what he'd been doing in the saloon and shared his suspicions regarding Jim Turner.
I don't know if he's got something working with Long Bob or not, but it seems to me like he's too anxious to get involved in our business. I may be totally wrong, but I don't think we're going to find Long Bob in this town tonight. We'll go check his room out at the rooming house, but we ain't going to find him there. I think I want to get on Jim Turner's tail tonight. He's more likely to lead us to Long Bob Butler.
He knew that the brutal way Jim roughed Rayford Pickens up while he was in jail had influenced his opinion of the young deputy sheriff. But he still held suspicions of a conspiracy between Jim and Long Bob to pin Jolene's death on the hapless young man who had come to Jolene's defense.
We're all set up here for tonight. Why don't we go over to that rooming house and make sure he ain't in there?
We might as well. Then I want to find out where Jim Turner sleeps. I'm just saying what I think is best, but I want to know what you think too. So jump in anytime you think of something better.
Sounds to me like you're on the right track so far. This is your show as far as I'm concerned. I just came along as a posse man. You're in charge. Then, if you screw it all up, I get to say I told you so.
You might get that chance. Come on, let's go take a look at Long Bob's room.
Leaving Barney to watch the camp, the two deputy marshals went down a side street to a large two-story house with a wide front porch that, according to Sheriff Leach's directions, was Sally Belcher's rooming house. Will walked in the front door while Ed went around the house to the back door. Inside the parlor, Will saw no one, but could hear what sounded like someone cleaning up after dinner in the dining room. He started to go to the dining room, but noticed a little bell on a stand near the front door. So he picked it up and rang it, guessing that was what it was there for. The cleanup noise in the dining room stopped, and after a few seconds, a plump little gray-haired woman appeared in the doorway.
Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am.
Will showed his badge.
I'm Deputy Marshal Will Tanner. Are you Miss Sally Belcher?
I am.
Miss Belcher, I have a court order to find George Robert Butler, and I understand he rents a room here in your house. Do you know if he's here?
No. I mean, yeah, I know he ain't here. At least he wasn't here for dinner, but that ain't unusual. Since his wife was killed, he eats at the Friendly Saloon more than he eats here.
Well, I need to take a look in his room. May I ask you to show me which one is his and have you unlock it for me?
She looked a little uncertain and hesitated to respond.
I'd like for you to go with me so you can see I won't take anything.
All right. Let me get my keys.
She grabbed the key to Long Bob's room, and Will followed her down the hallway to the back door and out on a porch to find Ed Pine waiting there.
Oh,
no need to worry. This is Deputy Marshal Ed Pine. Ed, say howdy to Miss Belcher.
Ed nodded, and Sally went to the door of a single attachment to the main house and opened it.
Long Bob don't need this big room no more since Jolene ain't here to cook for him. And it sure looks like he could use a good cleaning.
Will could see why she might be concerned. Basically, the room was a bedroom large enough to have a small cook stove at one end of it with a table and chairs. It was obvious she could ask more rent for this room. And the room was a mess, with a woman's clothes strewn on the floor, as well as some of Long Bob's. But there was no sign of a hasty packing of anything, like Will would have expected to find. In fact, there was a set of saddlebags lying in the corner. A new thought suddenly struck him.
Miss Belcher, has Jim Turner got a room here?
She nodded.
Jim's room is upstairs. You want to see it too?
No, ma'am. I was just curious. Matter of fact, I think we're through here. Right, Ed?
Yep.
Thank you, Miss Belcher. I hope we didn't cause you too much trouble. We'll just go right on out the back door.
She locked Long Bob's door.
It weren't no trouble.
On the way back to their camp behind the jail, Will explained to Ed what he planned to do. Ed was concerned that Will was taking on too much of the arrest by himself, and he thought the two of them should plan to arrest Long Bob Butler.
From everything I've heard about this, Jasper, some of it from you, Long Bob is one hell of a handful to take on.
I agree. That's why I plan to tail Jim Turner, just to find out where Long Bob is hiding out. Once we find that out, you and I will go get him. That make more sense?
That makes more sense.
When they got back to their camp, they found Sheriff Leach talking to Barney over a cup of coffee.
Well, I see you ain't walking Long Bob between you, so I reckon you weren't home.
That's a fact. I reckon the next thing we need to do is see if his horse is gone. Does he keep a horse in the stable down the street there? Or has he got someplace else where he keeps it? There wasn't a stable or barn behind that boarding house.
He kept his horse at Murphy's stable. Big old Bay Gelding he called Devil.
What does Long Bob do for a living? He spends a hell of a lot of time in the saloon, rents a big room with a kitchen at the boarding house, and he keeps his horse at the stable. Where does he get money for all that?
Well, he ain't got no steady job, I can tell you that. He claims he wins his money gambling over in Little Rock. If you want to watch him playing cards very long, you don't figure that's very likely. I don't worry my head about it. Wherever he gets it, it ain't here in Clarksville, so it ain't my problem.
I see what you mean, Sheriff. And I hope we can finish up our little business and get out of your way before too much longer. I'm just going to take a little walk down to that stable.
Ain't no hurry. Your partner here makes a pretty good cup of coffee. You boys just stay as long as you like. Jim's in the office. Want me to send him down to Murphy's to check on Long Bob's horse?
No, I can do it. I need to stretch my legs a little.
He started right away before Leach could insist on sending his deputy. Ed fell in step with him and walked as far as the front of the building.
You keep an eye on Deputy Jim Turner. We need to know if he leaves to go anywhere.
Right. I was fixing to tell you that I was going to do just that.
Will found Frank Murphy pumping water into the trough in the corral and called to him from the corral gate.
Mr. Murphy!
Murphy turned, and when he saw Will, he pumped a couple more times, then came over to the gate.
You're the deputy marshal that came to pick up that poor Pickens boy, ain't you?
That's right, Will Tanner.
Well, have they hung him yet?
No, as a matter of fact, they haven't. He hasn't gone to trial yet. You think they ought to hang him for killing that young lady?
Hell no. I dealt with that miserable soul ever since he started working in Galloway's feed store. And I know for a fact that boy ain't got it in him to hurt a flea, much less kill a woman. And he ain't as bright as a horse turd, but he's as honest as the day is long, and he is worth every penny of what old John Galloway was paying him when it came to working.
Will was taken totally by surprise by Murphy's unsolicited testimony for Rayford Pickens. He couldn't help smiling.
Your first name's Frank, ain't it, Mr. Murphy?
Yes, sir.
I think I know why. If Ray Pickens needed a character witness at his trial, I believe I'd call you.
I don't know about that. I'm just calling a spade a spade.
What would you think if I told you Rayford Pickens ain't going on trial for killing anybody? And right now, he's sitting in a holding cell away from the general prison population, with the door not even locked, eating three meals a day, being held as a witness. And another witness is in protection from the man she's going to testify against for the murder of Jolene Carson Butler. And that man is the man I'm looking for today. So tell me, Frank Murphy, which one of these horses belongs to Long Bob Butler?
Murphy looked stunned.
Are you telling me the God's honest truth?
I am. Is his horse here?
No, he came in here and took that big bay of his just a little while ago. Said he had to take a little trip and he might not be back tonight.
He shook his head slowly.
You be careful, young fella. They don't come no meaner than Long Bob. Lord, I hope you catch that devil.
Did you notice which road he took out of town?
Yeah, he took the south road. He is heading down to the river, I reckon. Ain't no telling where he was going down that way.
Now, all right. Well, much obliged, Mr. Murphy.
He offered his hand and Murphy shook it.
You be real careful with that devil.
When Will got back to the sheriff's office, he told them that Murphy said Long Bob had saddled his horse and left town. He wanted Leach to think that he and Ed were not holding back any information from him.
You say which way he rode out?
No, Sheriff. That might have helped a little, wouldn't it?
He glanced at Ed and winked.
I reckon there ain't much we can do but start scouting around tomorrow to see if we can pick up any sign.
Well, that don't sound too promising, does it? That boy's a wild one. I wouldn't expect to see him in these parts anytime soon if he knows the law's after him.
I'm afraid you may be right. Might have been a waste of time coming up here.
He reached over and gave Ed a playful punch on the shoulder.
But I reckon there ain't much we can do about it tonight, so we might as well eat a good supper and give Barney the night off, too.
Now you're talking.
Sheriff, do you and Jim eat supper across the street at the saloon?
Yeah, most of the time we do. That's where I'm planning to eat tonight. Jim told me before he went in the office that he thought he might take supper back at Sally Belcher's place tonight. Said she wanted to have all the boarders come to supper tonight because she's got some things she wants to change.
Uh-oh. Sounds like she's wanting Jim to take his boots off when he jumps in the bed. Barney, keep an eye on the camp, will you? Will and I are going to go eat with the sheriff.
Just then, Jim came out of his office and entered the main room.
I'm going to go get some supper.
That was signal enough for the rest of them to do the same. Leech locked the main office door, and they started to cross the street when Will suddenly stopped.
Damn, I don't know what's wrong with me. I plumb forgot to take Buster's saddle off him. You two go on. Don't wait for me. I'll catch up.
He didn't wait for any reply, but turned around and ran back behind the jail, where Barney was waiting, holding the buckskin's reins. Will climbed up into the saddle and turned Buster toward the other end of the jail. He saw Ed and the sheriff go inside the front door of the saloon, and Buster jumped out from the corner of the jail at a lope. Having already picked out the spot he was going to stake out, Will rode down the side street until reaching a point where he could guide Buster through the woods behind Sally Belcher's boarding house. Before he got to the end of the woods, he dismounted and tied Buster to a tree limb. Then he moved up closer to the edge of the trees, with now only a small garden patch between the woods and the back of the house. As he suspected, Jim's saddled horse was tied at the back steps of the house, so Will took a knee and waited. In a short while, Jim came down the steps, carrying two sacks that Will guessed held something Long Bob could cook. Bacon, maybe, or jerky. Jim tied the sacks on the front of his saddle and went back inside Long Bob's room. When he came back, he was carrying a long bundle wrapped in a blanket. He laid that behind his saddle where his saddlebags usually rode.
So far, you're doing everything right. Now, just lead me to him.
As if he heard him, Jim climbed up into the saddle and rode around the house to take the side road back to the main street. Will ran back and jumped on his horse. No longer worried about being seen by someone in the house, he rode around the garden patch and went out the same way Jim did. He reached the main street and watched as Jim took the south road out of town, the same road Frank Murphy said Long Bob took. Will cautiously followed Jim without getting too close, lest he ride around one of the many curves in the road and suddenly find himself with nowhere to hide. He was approaching a sharp curve at the moment, so he slowed Buster down. If he had not come to almost a dead stop before rounding the curve, he most likely would have missed the small path leading off to the east of the road and the clear hoof print at the beginning of it.
Damn!
He swore for his carelessness and nudged Buster to plunge through some laurel bushes that were growing over the path. It was obvious that the path had not been used for quite some time. He was even more cautious. It would be pretty tight quarters to have a gunfight. His intent was just as he had told Ed, to find where Long Bob was holed up so the two of them could arrest him. There was also one more thing to be considered: Jim Turner's involvement in Long Bob's escape. To make things right, Will needed to arrest Jim for aiding and abetting.
We'll worry about Long Bob first.
The ground continued to slope down toward the river as he followed the path, through woods so thick it was difficult to see more than 10 yards ahead of him. Finally, he reined Buster to a halt at a point where the path suddenly descended sharply to the river. Below him, close to a wide bend in the river, he saw a rough shack. Behind the shack, he saw the two horses. That was all he needed to see. He knew where Long Bob was hiding. As far as Deputy Jim Turner, it would be best to keep them apart in two separate arrests. It was tempting to try to move on them now, but every advantage was in their favor. Will would likely end up dead, and Ed still wouldn't know where Long Bob was. He backed the buckskin up, then turned him around, and figured he and Ed would be back later that night. When he returned to Clarksville, Will found Barney waiting for him with biscuits and ham. He was just finishing his supper when Ed and the sheriff returned.
Well, we was wondering what in the world happened to you. You missed a fine supper.
I came back to pull Buster's saddle off, and he was acting kind of strange, like he was favoring one of his front legs. I checked his hoof, and he had a little sliver of rock wedged in. I pulled it out. It wasn't anything, really, but then I saw Barney sitting over there looking lonesome, so I took pity on him and ate some of the grub he cooked up.
Ed's right. You missed a good supper. Mabel asked why he didn't come to eat. Said she baked some biscuits for you.
Dang, if I'd known that, I'd have gone over there.
Sheriff Leach went back into the office. He usually stayed an hour or two after supper to make sure the town quieted down before he retired to the little house he lived in on the same street Sally's house was on.
Well, that's when there ain't nobody in the cells like tonight. If we got prisoners, either me or Jim will sleep in the office.
The only one who didn't talk about his supper when he showed up at the office a little later was Jim Turner. The sheriff asked him if he enjoyed his dinner.
It was okay.
He didn't tell him about the scraps of food he had eaten. All he'd found in Long Bob's room was some jerky, a pair of pickled peaches, a couple of cans of sardines, some crackers, and a bottle of whiskey, which received much more of their attention. It was easier to get drunk instead. Long Bob complained, but Jim told him he couldn't very well load up a pack horse. They noticed a few fishing poles lying across the open ceiling joists. They'd used the cabin before, but had no idea who they belonged to.
I'll get you something you can cook tomorrow, when I ain't got two deputy marshals hanging around. Now get off your big, lazy butt and go catch some fish.
When Jim came back from the stable after leaving his horse with Frank Murphy, Will decided that was the go-ahead sign. He saddled Buster once again. If the big buckskin minded, he didn't show any evidence of it. The test was going to be whether or not Will could find the little path that led to the cabin in the dark. He and Ed led their horses quietly away from the jail. They reached the tiny path sooner than he expected.
Damn, how did you ever find this? You sure we're on the right path?
Will didn't answer. He just kept going until reaching the point where he first saw the cabin. He pulled up and Ed came up beside him.
Yonder it is.
Ed had to look twice before he saw the outline of the crude shack sitting close to the bank of the river. After staring at the dark cabin for a few minutes, they detected a tiny glow of a fire through the one window. Since Ed had never seen Long Bob, Will felt it necessary to tell him their best bet would be to surprise him and try to cuff him before he knew what hit him.
If we go in with guns drawn and tell him he's under arrest, he's just gonna go wild. And believe me, he's a handful. We would be real lucky if he's drank himself to sleep. I expect we'd be in our rights if we just shot him when he resists arrest. But I'd kind of like to see him face the hanging judge. All right?
Yep.
Well, let's see if we can sneak up to that shack and get a good look in the window.
They left their horses halfway down the slope, and holding the handcuffs and a coil of rope, walked the rest of the way down to the cabin. The bay horse, named Devil, inquired softly, but there was no indication that the party inside the cabin had heard. With his six gun in hand, ready to fire, Will edged up to one side of the window. He pulled his hat off his head, then exposed one eye to peek inside. He saw the long outline of Long Bob's body stretched out against one side of the tiny shack, sound asleep. There was no mystery as to why Long Bob hadn't heard the horses. Will signaled to Ed. He held up the handcuffs and pointed to himself. Then he handed Ed the coil of rope and pointed to his feet. Ed nodded that he understood. They moved as quietly as possible to the door and discovered that there had been a padlock on it at one time, but the entire hasp had been torn off. Will very slowly tried the door and discovered there was nothing holding it shut from the inside. So he opened it all the way and stepped inside. Ed followed right behind him. They stood for a brief minute, their guns drawn, ready for his reaction, but there was none. The only response was an unconscious puff of air from Long Bob's lips, followed by a soft string of snoring. Will looked at Ed and mouthed, "Ready?" Ed nodded, and with his rope ready, he knelt by Long Bob's feet. Will took hold of the big man's shoulder and Long Bob twitched slightly. Will gently patted the shoulder, then slowly pulled him over on his stomach. Sleeping too soundly to know what was going on, Long Bob offered no resistance when Will pulled his hands together behind his back and locked the cuffs on his wrists, while Ed quickly bound his feet together. In the span of a few seconds, it was done. Still struggling to come out of his drunken slumber, Long Bob gradually realized why he couldn't seem to move his body. He finally roared out his anger.
You're under arrest for the murder of Jolene Carson Butler.
I'll kill that damn Jim Turner!
No use blaming Jim. Jim did his best trying to keep us from finding you. He don't know we caught up with you yet.
Will looked at Ed.
That's something we'll have to talk about, what we're gonna do about Jim Turner. The only crime we know about for Jim is trying to help old Long Bob here to hide. Of course, he might have known who really killed Jolene, too.
He was halfway inclined to let Sheriff Leach handle Jim's involvement in this affair.
But right now, I reckon we'd best get on with the hardest part of this arrest.
What's that?
Getting this big load of manure on his horse and carrying him out of here.
Oh, right. I reckon we'd best saddle his horse.
Thinking they were ahead of the game at this point, they were reluctant to untie his feet so he could sit in the saddle. They were also not very anxious to unlock his hands so he could have them in front of him. Both lawmen agreed that with this particular individual, it would be less risky to transport him across his saddle on his belly.
We're just gonna have to shoot him. The warrant says dead or alive, and I don't think they really care one way or the other.
Wait a minute, what the hell are you talking about? You can't just shoot me.
The hell we can't. You resisted arrest. Who's gonna know? Right, Ed?
That's a fact. It'd be a whole lot easier.
Hey, I ain't resisting arrest. I'll do whatever you say. I won't give you no trouble.
Will looked at him, shook his head as if undecided, then looked back to Ed.
I don't know, Ed. He's gonna be so much easier dead. We won't have to dig a hole to put him in. We'll just leave him in this shack and set it on fire. I'm gonna go saddle that bay horse. I know we want to keep that horse in the saddle, too. Keep your eye on him. We'll decide for sure when I get back.
As soon as Will walked out of the shack, Long Bob started to work on Ed.
Hey, I can tell you're a lot more fair-minded man than your partner. I just want to let you know I can see that you're a more Christian man than he is, and I respect you for it. I swear to you, I ain't gonna give you fellas no trouble at all. I'm really a peaceable man by nature. Anybody will tell you that.
When Will came back in the shack, he had his six gun in his hand. He broke the cylinder open and checked to see if it was fully loaded.
All right, let's get this thing done.
Hold on a second, Will. I think maybe we ought to give Long Bob a chance. I've been talking to him, and I think he means what he says when he promises he'll do what we tell him.
Hell, Ed, they all say that.
I think this one means it.
All right, but I ain't ever seen you go so soft on a prisoner before. You can untie his feet so he can sit in the saddle, but I'm telling you, one little funny move and he's dead. Let's get him on his horse.
It wasn't long before they arrived back at the jail, prisoner in tow.
The sheriff went home, but Jim didn't. He's sleeping in the office.
Well, that'll make it a little easier. Let's get Long Bob off his horse.
You gonna put him in the wagon?
No, I think tonight we'll put him in one of the cells. And he'll have a bed to sleep on. We'll load him in the wagon in the morning.
They walked Long Bob up the steps and rapped on the door until Jim was finally roused and came to unlock it. Still half asleep, he became completely awake when he saw Long Bob. He backed away, totally astonished.
Bring the keys to the cells, Jim.
They're hanging by the door.
Jim's eyes grew bigger and bigger as he stared at Long Bob, who stared back at him. Will took the cell keys off a hook as he walked in toward the cell room.
Put a bucket of water in that cell.
Jim went at once to the pump and returned with a full bucket.
Bring another one and put it in that cell.
He pointed to the cell next to Long Bob's. Confused, but too amazed to ask questions, Jim went at once for another bucket of water. By the time he came back, Will had locked Long Bob in his cell and removed his handcuffs.
You want this in that cell?
Jim pointed to the cell next to Long Bob's.
Right.
When Jim carried the bucket in, Will closed the cell door behind him and locked it.
Sorry we had to wake you up. You can go ahead and get back to sleep.
What? What are you doing?
Jim rushed to the cell door and grabbed the bars in an effort to open it.
You locked the damn door!
Right again. It takes you a little while, but you pick up on things eventually.
You locked the damn door!
Right. That's how you keep prisoners from getting out of the cells. I thought Sheriff Leach would have explained that to you.
He's out of his mind. He's as crazy as a coyote.
You damn fool. You led him right to me. You didn't have enough sense to know they was gonna tell you.
The next morning, as Sheriff Marvin Leach went into the cell room to do his morning rounds, he was stopped cold as he opened the door.
Long Bob, how did you...
He noticed Jim in the cell beside Bob's.
Jim, what the hell?
It's that crazy marshal, Tanner. He put me in here.
When did he arrest Long Bob?
Last night. Then he locked me in here. Let me out of here!
Leach hesitated a few moments and then turned to look for the keys by the door. He didn't see them on their usual hook.
Where are the keys?
Tanner's got them. They're out back, getting ready to go.
Leach turned around and went out the door behind the jail.
Morning, Sheriff. You looking for a cup of coffee?
No. I mean, yeah, I reckon I need one.
Will was tying lead ropes on the Appaloosa and the pack horses. When he saw Leach, he came over to talk to him.
We left you one on your stove in the office.
One what?
A lot of coffee.
Leach was still totally confused.
Oh, you boys was pretty busy last night.
Morning, Sheriff. I reckon we need to talk about a few things this morning.
I reckon we do. Now, to start with, what the hell's my deputy doing locked up in that cell?
Tell you the truth, it was hard to decide whether we ought to arrest him for slipping off last night to take food and stuff to Long Bob at his hideout, or give him a gold star for helping us with the arrest. I don't know if we'd ever found Long Bob if Jim hadn't led us right to him.
Will could see the growing concern on Leach's face.
Ed and I have been talking it over, and there are two things we can do with Jim. We can take him on back to Fort Smith and try him for aiding and abetting a criminal, or we can just turn him over to you and let you handle it in any way you see fit. We thought you might prefer that option, since you obviously know your deputy better than we do. If you need to think it over, best do it now, because we're fixing to take Long Bob out of his cell and transfer him to the jail wagon. All I need to know is whether or not Long Bob's gonna have any company on the ride back to Fort Smith.
You're a reasonable man, Will Tanner. You and Ed both. I understand you're willing to give Jim a chance, and so am I. I'll deal with him myself.
Fine. I wish you good luck with him. You might want to consider that he likely knew Long Bob killed Jolene, too. Come on, Ed. Let's load him up.
The trip back to Fort Smith was without incident, and like the trip to Clarksville, they took it in 2 short days. Will and Ed reported to Dan Stone after they left Long Bob at the jail. They both thought Deputy Jim Turner's involvement would come out in testimony before the court, so they discussed the issue with Stone. His initial reaction was that Jim should have been arrested along with Long Bob, but he understood Will and Ed's decision to let Sheriff Leach handle it.
When I last talked to Judge Parker, he said he planned to move Butler's trial ahead on the docket, so you'll both be in court right away.
He smiled and looked at Will.
I know you won't mind staying close to home for a while.
Will smiled in return, but he was thinking of the boredom of sitting through a court trial. As Will and Ed started to leave, Stone stopped them.
There's still a little matter of a professional killer looking for you, Will.
I didn't see any reason to include that in the report, but that issue has been settled.
Home in time for supper?
Sophie smirked as she saw Will come in the door.
Now that's more like it.
She gave him a welcome hug and then stepped back while she looked him over.
No new bandages either. Welcome home.
Yeah, I missed you too.
The trial was scheduled 2 days later on Wednesday morning. Will was given the job of delivering the summons to witnesses Loretta Carson and Rayford Pickens. He was paid the usual fee for delivering them, even though Loretta was still right there at Bennett House and Rayford was in a holding cell next to the courtroom. Will had not had an occasion to see Rayford in the short time since his return from Clarksville, but Loretta seemed to be self-assured and ready to testify. Will credited most of that to her close association with Margaret for the last few days. When Long Bob was escorted into the courtroom, Will was reminded of the first time he saw him in the friendly saloon. Even with two guards to escort him, Long Bob looked larger than life. Walking tall and confidently, he flashed a wide smile at Loretta, and Will thought he detected a look of panic upon the frail girl's face.
Surely she won't recant at the last minute.
His thoughts were shifted to the door in the back of the courtroom when the bailiff spoke as Judge Isaac Parker walked in.
All rise.
As Dan Stone had predicted, Long Bob's trial went fast and smoothly. Much to Will's relief, Loretta faced the jury bravely and told the truth. The jury was unanimous in their decision, and Judge Parker promptly sentenced Long Bob to death by hanging. It was done. Nothing could compensate for the loss of her sister, but Loretta had at least seen justice for the man who killed her. And she was the one who had defied his threats and driven the nail in his coffin. Justice was served in everyone's mind but Long Bob's. When his guards escorted him back past the witness box, Long Bob suddenly tore away from them and lunged toward Loretta, his handcuffed hands reaching for her throat. It happened too fast for anyone to react quickly enough to stop him except for one person. Once again, Rayford Pickens thrust his body between Long Bob and his victim, this time with enough force to knock the angry giant to the floor. Will was quick to assist the two guards as they dragged a frustrated Long Bob from the courtroom. When he came back, he was gratified to see Rayford still locked in Loretta's grateful embrace.
Who knows? This might actually be the start of something good.
Will Tanner 7, The Violent Storm is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2022 by J.A. Johnstone. All rights reserved. Recorded with permission from the author. Production copyright 2022, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Terrence Aselford as the narrator, Chris Stinson as Will Tanner, Ryan H. Reed as Reese Traynor, Christopher Graybill as Frank Traynor, and Nazia Chaudhry as Lottie Mabry. Also featuring the voices of Nora Ashrati, Holly Adams, Zeke Alton, Matthew Bassett, Michael John Casey, Mike Siporkin, Alexandra Kohler, Chris Davenport, Wynn Delano, Dan Delgado, Kay Eluvian, Sarah Greenfield, Julie Hoverson, Ken Jackson, John Keelty, Henry W. Kramer, Scott McCormick, Rob McFadden, Eric Messner, Gabriel Michael, Melody Muse, Stephanie Nemeth Parker, Matthew Pauly, Marnie Penning, Richard Rowan, Nanette Savard, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Mort Shelby, Bradley Foster Smith, Andrew James Spooner, Yasmin Toison, Samantha Turrett, Dawn Ursula, Natalie Van Sistine, Stefan Walker, Christopher Williams, and David Zitney. Book adapted and directed for Graphic Audio by Lola Mento. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer, Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Casey Green and Megan Hasty. If you enjoyed Will Tanner 7, The Violent Storm, check out the Jackals series, also by William W. and J.A. Johnstone, along with our entire catalog of exciting releases at www.graphicaudio.net. Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's The Jensen Brand.
Times are changing, you know? Civilization spread all across what used to be the frontier, and it's up to us to make sure that it stays that way. The lawless elements aren't going to go away quietly, though.
No, I reckon you can count on that.
A new century.
You're caught! Throw down your guns!
A new generation.
It'll sure be good to have the kids around again.
I'd hate to have a bunch of trouble going on just as Louis Arthur and Denise Nicole finally come home to stay.
Yeah, Jensen's and trouble just don't mix.
I'll wipe Smoke Jensen and everyone he loves off the face of the earth!
A new hero for the Old West.
This is still a hard land, isn't it, Pa?
It can be.
Then if I'm going to live here, I've got to be hard sometimes, too.
What do you have there?
Pa's 45.
He know you're carrying it around.
I've got a good reason for carrying it.
Oh? What's that?
Teach me how to use this.
From best-selling authors William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone comes a new chapter in the Smoke Jensen saga.
That damn girl is Smoke Jensen's daughter. When you take on one Jensen, you take on all of them.
The Jensen Brand.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.